Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back to Believe in 49ers, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I'm your host, Tommy Call the Third. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy Triple III. You can also catch all my written work about the Niners via USA Today's Niners Wire. And it is Super Bowl week here on Believe in 49ers. But instead of focusing on the game, I don't know about you guys, the listeners out there, but when there is such a big game ahead, I kind of have to tune out some of the new noise and focus on a little bit of something else. You know, that's what I'm like watching my shows or trying to focus on a different sport for a second, because the game just can be so stressful thinking about it. So we're going to switch gears a little bit here today on the podcast, and we're going to talk about the Senior Bowl, because it is one of the most special weeks in the NFL draft cycle, and it is currently going on. I actually think as we're recording this, the game is currently going on right now down in Mobile, Alabama. I've been lucky enough myself to go to three different Senior Bowls, and it's just a great week with unrivaled access, truly your first kind of taste of draft season where you get to see these guys not necessarily competing for their teams, but actually competing for themselves, and you kind of learn some new names along with who's going to be a guy you want on your team and who's going to be a pick you could potentially want to avoid. And so today on the podcast, we're going to talk a lot about the Senior Bowl, and I'm lucky enough to welcome on one.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Of my good friends in the industry, Marcus Johnson, he was actually down in Mobile, Alabama, and got to watch these prospects live. But before we dig into that and the rest of this episode, I have a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. It is playoff time, and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, Bet Online, is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of the Gatorade. BetOnline is your number one source for championship wagering. Head to BetOnline and join today to get into all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, folks, let's get down to big business. Marcus Johnson of Tape Don't Lie and SB Nation. You can follow him at the Mark John, MARC. J-O-H-N NFL on Twitter. Amazing with the draft, breaking down film. I'm lucky enough to call him a friend. Thanks for joining us, Mark. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing, though?
Good. It's been a long time. Lucky, back in the day, me and Mark actually wrote alongside each other for Raiders Wire, kind of getting our feet wet in this industry, and then actually got to meet up in Mobile, Alabama. Had a great time, a couple two drinks too many.
Yeah.
Part of the week down there, but you know, that's really what makes it fun. Mark, I just kind of want to start off by like for the fans out there that, you know, maybe just a casual draft fan, flip on, you know, the draft when it's on and read a couple of the big mock drafts as they come on, what kind of is the Senior Bowl? Why do you end up going back every year? What's the access like? What makes this week in Mobile so special? Why all eyes are on Mobile, Alabama right before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because I think it's the first big like kind of start of the draft season. This is the East-West Shrine Bowl, but the Shrine Bowl is more like fourth-round picks and up, so it's more like later-round picks, guys that go and draft. They're kind of more gems that you find like in the fifth round. I know Zay Flowers went there last year, but he practiced for like a day and then left, so you kind of see how that was with the East Shrine Bowl. But the Senior Bowl is the bigger one because, one, there's just actual first-round picks there, right? There's guys that people want to see. Big time players, the best quarterbacks. You know, Justin Herbert was there, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Jordan Love. Oh, some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, they were went to the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, it's an outlook that way. And of course, if you're a media member, the access that you get, the access to other media members, you get access to seeing scouts everywhere, and you know, maybe running into a scout, having a conversation, you know, learning some stuff, you know, and it's a great networking opportunity too for if you want to go out there. But for the draft itself, I mean, it really is the start of the season. You know, some guys can make a lot of money there. Some guys can go from, you know, being a third round pick to a first round pick with a great Senior Bowl week. You can go from being a fourth round pick to a second round pick. You can make a lot of money going out there and having a great week. So it's a big event that way, and you can find gems too there that maybe you're like, okay, maybe that guy's, you know, maybe I didn't like his film too much, but he went out there and had a great week. Let me go back to the film. She was trying to see what I missed and maybe something there that he maybe was held back by the scheme, you know, things like that. So you can get ready for the draft and try to figure it out that way. But I think it's big for setting up what's going to happen later on.
I think this year too, you mentioned some of the big names. I think the one of the Senior Bowls we were at, we got to see Justin Herbert live. And this was back when Justin Herbert wasn't really like the best quarterback prospect, where he had a lot to prove, and you had guys even like myself were like, I don't know, I don't really know about this guy. But it seems like every year with the Senior Bowl, it's like they continue to double down with that roster, and it seems like it just gets better and better. And you're, you know, maybe rewind 5-10 years ago, whatever it was, you didn't get these top tier prospects like that. They didn't have anything to prove necessarily. And it just, this year, this group, I mean, going up and down that roster, there were so many guys personally that I was interested in seeing. A lot of guys, you know, on Believe in 49ers specifically, whenever we're doing game previews every single week, we'll end the podcast and I'll just kind of rattle off some names that I like in the draft. Well, it seems like a lot of those guys that I was watching, I had circled throughout the season, were there this year. What can you kind of say about this year specifically, this Senior Bowl roster, kind of from top to bottom, how good it really is?
Yeah, I thought it was stacked like going into it. I think some of the guys that were going to make it really stacked, because it was at first when I was really excited to go, because, you know, Byron Murphy from Texas was going to be there. The center from Georgia was going to be there. He's a really good player. And some of those guys ended up leaving early and ended up participating in the Senior Bowl. So it still was a great group, though. You know, Jackson Powers was out there as a great guard. You know, James Morgan, Fuyaga was out there. So a lot of the good offensive linemen, or guys who were first-round offensive linemen, they were there. Of course, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler, you know, a lot of those quarterbacks people like that think that maybe could go first round, could sneak into the first round. You know, they didn't have the greatest showing out there, but some of those guys were able to kind of build their name up, especially Spencer Rattler. And then, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, Darius Robinson, those type of guys were out there who are really trying to make a name of themselves. Fisk and Brendan Fisk from Florida State, and a couple of the corners, especially Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, is like an unknown guy. And that's kind of what the Senior Bowl is kind of like. He's a small school guy, but the NFL is really high on him, and he can go out there and compete with some power five guys and look the part. It kind of solidifies his first round draft pick. So I think the talent this year was really great. It was really good. I don't think there's a lot of depth with the talent. You know, Jim Nagy talked about that a little bit, because, you know, like as you got to the deeper into the offensive line, you know, the players weren't really that great, as you would say. But the top of this Senior Bowl was excellent, and that's why I went out there this year. I definitely wanted to see Nix and Penix, because the Raiders are looking for a quarterback. So so I definitely want to go out there and see what they got to do.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you about some of the players specifically later, but one of the things that I enjoy about the Senior Bowl is just kind of like the practices, specifically when it comes to the position battles, because you can kind of see, like, outside of like individually, some of these position groups as a whole kind of really stand out. And you can see where they scouted and brought in. The recruiting was really good in bringing in certain players in those groups. Was there kind of a specific group that this year you look at and goes, okay, it was led by the running backs, the quarterbacks, whatever that means? Was there a group that maybe impressed you the most or surprised you the most that you could see every player in that group potentially getting drafted, you know, before day three type of thing, or that we're going to be looking in April going back, this was the linebacker draft and it was because maybe they were so good at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, it was offensive line group for sure. I think the offensive line in this draft is really stacked. If you need an offensive lineman, this is the draft to get it. That's a focus and you need to get a build inside, there's some guards you can get that are really effective. You know, a lot of guys that came in there who weren't expected to have great weeks had good weeks. So, I mean, it was really important for that offensive line kind of solidify itself. And they really dominated one-on-ones, and especially in a position where you're not, especially with the one-on-ones, defensive tackles, they have kind of the leverage or the, what am I trying to say, the competitive edge there when it comes to the one-on-ones. And the offensive line, they really did a great job, especially on the national team. So those guys really stood out. And there's a lot of third and second round picks out there at the offensive line. And there were some first round picks out there too. And some guys who really went from maybe being a fringe second round pick to maybe being like a top 10 pick. And so the offensive line really dominated this week. In the American team, maybe not as much, but the national team, I mean, those guys have some special players over there.
I always butcher his name whenever I say it, but Fuaga, the Oregon State offensive, I mean, watching, just paying attention on Twitter this week to seeing people release practice footage and things like that, and obviously the game. I mean, that is just truly like a Hulk of a person, and seeing him run around on the field was just, I mean, this dude, he looks as clear cut as an NFL player. I mean, he looks like he was made in a lab in terms of a guy you want protecting your quarterback. And for the 49ers, I'm going to, you know, ask you about this a little bit later, because I think all season long, I've kind of harped on like, they could use help on the offensive line, and it would not be a surprise to me at the back end of the first round that they target one of these offensive linemen on the board in the first round, because I think obviously the right tackle position for them has been problematic throughout the season. But Mark, I think one thing that's always interesting about the Senior Bowl is with the draft in general, there's a lot of like kind of, you know, groupthink. If everybody thinks the guy's really good and enough people talk about him enough, they just turn really good. Right. And, you know, each year there's always that sparks up in the Senior Bowl, you know, the Senior Bowl hype train, a guy that kind of explodes this week. And, but maybe they're a bit overrated. I mean, I think about times that I've went, and I think I've blabbed in your ear enough about Andy Isabella, right? Like when we went, and it's like, I don't even think he has an NFL career. I think I remember like Penny Hart, the wide receiver that went out there and really tore it apart. And it's like, I mean, Andy Isabella, I was thinking in my head, I was like, this guy's maybe a first rounder type of thing, you know, and now obviously not much of a career. Mark, is there, I'm asking you to get a little critical here, but is there a guy that maybe we need to turn the volume down on, don't buy into the hype as much, that you don't really believe it? You got to see it in person, obviously, this week, but what, before we kind of get into the players you did like, was there a player that you're like, I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on this and kind of see it play out? If you have the pick in front of me, I'll happily let you take them while I wait back a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, the wide receiver this week was McConkey. I think that's how I said it right. Lad McConkey from Georgia. I think he was that guy, you know.
Really?
Because he was winning, right, on some of those things. But, like, you know, some plays, I was counting to three, right, and the ball should have been out. But he had a lot of moves, and he was kind of showing – that some teams might really like that, and he might go higher than he actually looks. Because, I mean, he was killing people out there. So, I mean, he was just dominating constantly. You know, and I'm trying to think of some defensive tackles, you know, really showed out. And I don't think they're as good like that on tape. One was McKinley Jackson. Definitely had a huge week and was definitely just dominating in the one-on-ones. But on film, he didn't look like that. He's getting pushed back on film and stuff like that. But he dominated. And I think that was the guy that kind of had a chance to really grow. But it would be McConkey for me. I feel like that's I don't know. There's something interesting about that. Just, he was running routes, but he would do like three moves in the routes. And I don't know. It was very Hunter Renfro-ish.
I'm happy you brought him up, because I have him written down right here as a player I wanted to ask you about. Because I think during the season watching Georgia, And like I said, when there are big games that, you know, I'm like, hey, look for number 84 for Georgia. Like, this guy is going to, he just seems like that quintessential guy that gets drafted maybe in the first round or in the top 50. And you go like, well, nobody had that, but he has those, the speed looked real to me, like at least watching him live. I'm not saying I watched film or tape or anything, but the speed looked real. And he was a name that I saw probably the most this week of about McConkey. And I've kind of was like, man, I like this guy. He is kind of like one turning into one of my guys because I was high on him, but it's interesting to me. What kind of is, in your opinion, his ceiling? Is he, you know, will we see his name fly off the board in the top 32 picks, top 40 picks? Like, and do you think that is too high? And you're not, like you said, is it more of a Hunter Renfrow, or is this guy the speed for real and he's going to go and make an impact? Is, are the Chiefs potentially, it seems like he's kind of the guy that the Chiefs could nab in the first round type of thing to add to that wide receiver room.
Yeah. It, you know, cause it was just interesting, you know, when he was out there, you know, cause he's labeled as a slot receiver, but you know, he did show a lot that he could probably win outside. Right. And, you know, I'm not sure about his height and size, but he didn't strike me as like a tiny guy. Right. He's not really like a Hunter Renfrow type. Right. So, you know, there's a chance that he can move inside and outside, but you know, some of these guys, when they win the way he wins, you know, it just takes some time and, you know, he's got to learn how to win quicker. Let's say that, you know, he wasn't, that was my thing. He wasn't winning like super quick. So but he has a great release and he is beating people. There's just a lot of deceptions, a lot of moves. He's got to learn how to make that more concise. And if he puts the work in, he could do that, then I believe that. But, you know, on one-on-ones, especially when you get in a situation where you have a great route runner like he is, he's going to try to do what he can do to beat you, right? And but sometimes that doesn't always work or translate into the NFL. Because even like, you know, Davante Adams, you know, he does that. He does some of those things where he's just going to do what the hell he wants to do. But it can get the quarterback off a little sometimes on timing, even with him when he does it. So, you know, he's got to tone that down a little bit. And that's what I'm saying. It looks awesome when you're out there.
Yeah.
And it's one-on-one.
And these drills are catered to pass catchers specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, they should be, if you are a top 50 pick, if you are going to be a first or second round pick, you should be winning in these type of situations because it's just, you know, playing defensive back at these type of things. It's a tough, you know, it's a tough gig overall. You're kind of meant to lose to an extent. So obviously if a guy isn't kind of dominating at a level, I think to me, it personally comes up as a question mark. One other wide receiver I want to ask you about, and I personally, big time Pac-12 fan, big UW guy, but watching a lot of Pac-12 football in their final season here, it was hard not to want to watch Caleb Williams every single week and watch a lot of USC football. Went to one of the USC games earlier in the season and got to kind of see these guys live. And I think it's weird we don't talk about him as much as we probably should, just because he probably was Caleb Williams' number one wide receiver for most of the season. And the ties that he is Jerry Rice's son, you think that would be kind of a headliner. But Brendan Rice, he was down there in Mobile this week. I don't know, Mark. I mean, I think this kid's pretty underrated. Like, I actually think is he legit? Am I wrong with that? Because I saw some stuff coming out this week, and it seemed like his name is kind of picking up some steam as a guy that has impressed people a little bit. And it's almost like because he was Jerry Rice's son and he wasn't really much of an impactful player last season when they had all those crazy wide receivers there, that it was like, oh, like he's not a real NFL prospect. But watching him this year, I mean, he was the true number one, in my opinion, for Caleb Williams. And you think for a guy to be such kind of a overwhelming favorite to be the number one quarterback taken off the board, their wide receivers usually get some push as well. Rice, I don't know. His name doesn't really, in my opinion, circulate as much as I think it should. Am I wrong there? How did he look this week?
I thought he looked really well. I thought he played really well. I thought, you know, some people were trying to, you know, get on some of his routes and saying he's a little stiff, but I thought he was able to kind of win deep, which is something he did consistently this week. And not even if it's like him blowing past people, it's more about him stacking a receiver. He just seems more concise and understanding how to get open and finding different ways to get open. And I think he's still probably more of a late day two guy, like a third round guy, in my opinion. Really didn't like kind of push himself in the first round, but I thought he did have a solid week, went out there and didn't drop any balls. He ran some good routes. He won consistently in the one-on-ones, and even against some better players like Quinyon Mitchell and stuff like that. So, you know, Rice, went out there, had a good week. You know, his dad was out there, so you know he definitely had to try to show out in front of his dad. So, yeah, I think he's underrated too. You know, even when you watch film, you watch Caleb Williams. You know, he is. You're right. He's the number one guy that he goes to, and he's probably the only guy on the team that was getting open consistently too. So
yeah,
and it's just where does he fit? I think he's more of a possession receiver at this point, but you know he did show the ability to win deep, especially like he could run some fades and stuff like that. But I don't know if he's gonna be that burner. You can throw 60-yard bombs to, but you could definitely throw like a 30-yard fade to him, and he can make a play. And yeah, he has great hands too as well.
Yeah, and I think most, you know, 49er fans out there, I think this will pick up around draft season when they kind of realize Jerry Rice's kid is going to be on the board potentially. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Jerry Rice is such a fixture in Santa Clara on the sidelines, a part of that organization, that I think 49er fans will be really excited if he's still on the board and the 49ers are somehow, you know, in the range of picking him. And it could be potentially disappointing if he doesn't land in the Bay Area. Obviously, you know, like you mentioned, the Raiders specifically will be looking for a quarterback. The 49ers, obviously not so much, but at these events, they're headlined by quarterbacks. And one of my favorite players in college football history, you and I have talked about him. I was kind of asking you, I was looking back at our messages when the last time we talked, and I was asking you what you thought of him. Michael Penix Jr., obviously Husky quarterback, talked about him a ton on Believe in 49ers. They're probably like sick of hearing about him. But how did he look this week? I mean, the arm, in my opinion, again, watching him live, seen him in person probably like 3 or 4 times now. The arm, in my opinion, is just as real as it gets. It's super live. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he was carrying a little bit of an injury or something in that, with all eyes on him in the national championship, because he was kind of hip firing, looking a little funky. But I think when that arm is really ready to roll, it is as strong as an arm really as we can kind of see in football, especially, you know, hitting those routes. Did he show that off this week? How did he look? And just what are your thoughts on him? Is he a, you know, do you feel, as being, you know, a Raider fan, do you feel comfortable taking him in the top 10, in the top 5? How early could you see him go, and how comfortable are you taking him that high?
So for Penix, I thought Penix struggled a little bit this week. Just definitely with accuracy a little bit. I mean, his arm definitely is live. He definitely had one of the biggest arms there. I mean, probably him, Milton, and Rattler. The arm was very live. So, I mean, is the arm is there. I just thought the accuracy issues that, you know, kind of, you know, some of the issues that he even has on film kind of showed up. Just the short passes, you know, being consistently hitting those short passes. He was missing a lot of passes on some, like, quick outs and stuff like that. But he had a good day Thursday, kind of finished the, you know, red zone session really well. Had a great throw rolling out. I think that was on Twitter a lot, that he really showed, you know, growth throughout the week, learning the system and things like that. But I think, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday was very shaky for him. Definitely, you know, it was a weird situation because he didn't play in the game either. We kind of left the game. But yeah, he has to show more than that when he's at the Senior Bowl, because I think a lot of teams go knock him for his injuries, right? Yeah, and that's my thing. You know, to me, I'd rather take him at the top of the second round if I was the Raiders, then I would take him at 13, just because I don't know how much, you know, that accuracy is going to come up in the NFL and what he's gonna do there. But he does have a very live arm. You know, he throws from some weird angles sometimes. And, you know, the game against Texas in the playoffs, he was incredible. It's a great film to watch. But then you watch Michigan, it's a little different. Just dealing with pressure, because, you know, they have one of the best offensive lines in football. Hey, man, Bo Nix, they didn't get touched. So seeing some of that pressure, and then, you know, Wednesday, they were under a lot of pressure because, you know, the defensive line was definitely in team session. They were having a good day in team session, getting some pressure there. So I thought Penix, he did have a little up and down week, but I think he finished off Thursday well and really showed that he can develop throughout practice and learn a system and figure things out.
That's been my biggest, like, question mark to him, just even as a fan. And, you know, I had family that went to UW and was talking to my dad and stuff. And he's just like, this guy is going to be a top 3 pick type of thing. I'll take him right now, number 1, and all this stuff. And my biggest question, even just as a big fan of his, is I do worry how stoic he is. And he got so comfortable playing behind one of the best offensive lines in football, you know. And if you get drafted early in the draft, you're not going to fall backwards into a great offensive line. We've seen it so many times, and you know, the ability to just kind of stay planted back there for an athletic guy, an athletic guy to have some scrambling skills. He does get very, you know, easily just will just stand there and have his arm bail him out. And so it's interesting to me that you saw that this week with the pressure and stuff, because I think that is a very, that's the number one question mark for me specifically when it comes to taking him. And I would have my reserves, but again, I'm going to be a big fan of him. Always the quarterbacks are fun to watch out there. Mark, I want to ask you specifically if you can kind of, if you can kind of imagine yourself as, you know, in the room with the 49ers. I think specifically offensive line, a group you mentioned that was very strong, and corner are two positions that I would put at the top of the board if I was the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe edge rusher is probably number three on the board there for them. But specifically offensive line and defensive back, starting with the offensive line, Kyle Shanahan has a system. He very much has a type he likes on the offensive line. Fuaga may not be that type specifically. Was there a guy that stood out and you go like, hey, that's a Kyle Shanahan offensive line pick right there? Is there a name 49er fans should be kind of be writing down or keeping in the back of their head that you saw this week in the Senior Bowl that would just fit that system in Santa Clara?
Yeah, so, you know, to be honest, I mean, probably the best system guy I'm going to say is Jackson Powers. I mean, I think Jackson Powers is
not a surprise.
He's a bad man. Yeah, because I think he can run zone and power, because I think Shanahan's moving to a mixture instead of just being wide zone. There's more of a mixture now, especially to a lot of the NFL. I mean, Sean McVay's doing the same thing. You know, this could be more power. These linebackers are getting smaller, and we're like, okay, we're just going to beat you up then. So I think that's kind of the move here. And I think, you know, Jackson Powers is one guy. Yeah, a guy who had a great week, though, who played right tackle this year for Illinois, but played guard as a junior, was Isaiah Adams. I thought Isaiah Adams from Illinois, who is who played a lot of power system, but he was a really good guard as a junior. And then they forced him to play right tackle, I guess. He was terrible as pass protector at right tackle. He had 30, he gave up 31 pressures according to PFF at right tackle, but the year before he only gave up 11 at guard. So you kind of see the, you know, the difference, and he was able to be moved inside, and he had a really good week. Also, Puni from Kansas, that dude. I mean, if they run zone, if they run on power, he could do both as well. But also, he played three different positions this week. So he played left tackle, he played center, and he played guard. So he was all over the place, very versatile. I think it was kind of shocking that he played center because he's kind of a tall, leaner guy. Definitely has a very athletic, quick on his feet. Definitely has a lot of that, what you like in a tackle, but you know, that versatility that he can bring, that's somebody that they could, you know, look out for too. And, you know, if they're looking at right tackles, I think James Morgan's a good fit from Arizona. I think he's a good fit. You know, you'd have to probably move him to right though, but he's still a good fit for what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. Cause he's athletic. He can move, he can get out of there and, you know, get into space and things like that on screens or whatever you need him to do. So he'd be a good fit too. But I still think Fuaga would be a good fit. Cause Fuaga's athletic as hell. I think he's just, that dude's a monster. I don't know. I did a breakdown on him before the Senior Bowl on my show. And he has just called plays, man. I thought he could play tight end, man. So he can, you know, maybe Kyle Shanahan do a tight end leak with him.
Yeah, maybe.
Crazy.
But he was one of the first guys I wrote about this draft cycle specifically. I just kind of like did a little aggregation of like a mock draft, and he was mocked to the Niners. And I was like, obviously being a Pac-12 fan, like I said, Jonathan Smith, watching that offense specifically, I remember being like, all right, I got to see it. Let's watch a little Oregon State after writing that piece. And damn, that guy's a dog. I think a team's going to hit a home run if they land him, whatever team may be. And now kind of shifting, because I think the other side of the 49er fan right now that might be arguing, listening to this, going like, no, we need defensive back, because we've seen just so up and down. And heading into the Super Bowl specifically, you know, one of the bigger question marks is who's going to show up, because they've had moments from Ambry Thomas. Lenore's looked good at times, but the consistency has lacked out on the opposite side of Mooney Ward, who's deservingly been an all-pro in my opinion. Is there a corner that kind of stood out to you that could play in that system with Steve Wilks and thrive there? And kind of, it seems like, you know, in my opinion, they need a guy that could probably play now, you know, type of thing, versus a developmental corner or even a developmental safety. I would think they're trying to, especially with that number 31 or 32 pick, they're trying to target a guy that can play day one on the secondary.
Yeah, so at corner, I think one guy that had a great week was Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville. Definitely a guy that I didn't really have on my radar, but he was dominant in one-on-ones. We're talking about how that's a wide receiver drill. Man, he was running the guys' routes for them. He had a couple picks in one-on-one. He had a, I think he had a pick in a team session, and then he had a pick today in the game. So he was all over the place. So that's a guy that really made a lot of money. But you know, since he didn't have a lot of buzz, I don't know if he'll sneak into the first round. Maybe he'll have a great combine. He's the type of guy that already started his process.
Got it.
To maybe sneak into the first round or be late first round. So where, you know, where the Niners are picking at, he might be that type of guy. And he's just a dog, man. I mean, he was physical. He's in guys' faces. He's running the routes for them. You know, sometimes the quarterback couldn't even throw the ball when he was guarding the guys. So he was out there just being dominant. He had a great week. Definitely stood out. And like I said, he even finished it off in the Senior Bowl game with the interception. So he just made a lot of money, and that would be somebody the 49ers could check out at the back of the draft, because he might be that type of guy that could sneak into the back of the first round, or even just, you know, be a second round guy that, you know, you could pick up.
Awesome. Well, Mark, we talked a ton, and you've dropped so many.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Names of prospects that I'm definitely going to be looking into, and as we heat up around the draft here, I'd love to obviously have you back on. But also, Mark, as much as you know about the draft, you're also a big football fan, like you said, a Raider fan. I want to ask you a couple questions about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I could imagine, I've seen the memes, the tweets, this is obviously Chiefs versus 49ers, not the best Super Bowl matchup for the Raider fans out there, but I also think it's going to be interesting to get your opinion, because here on Believe in 49ers, obviously talk about the 49ers a lot, write about them. I'm not a Niner fan myself, but I'm also very, you know, in the 49ers realm. And Brock Purdy is a conversation that, you know, we've had all year long, dating back to training camp. Is this guy still the start? Is he going to be the starter? Does Trey Lance deserve a crack? I mean, we've had every which way conversation about him. And I feel like sometimes I need to step back and hear the outsider opinion. So I just, before I ask you a couple questions about the Super Bowl, and we wrap things up here, I want to know, what's your just general overall thoughts on Brock Purdy? Are you one of his critics? Are you one of his believers? Do you kind of land in the middle? I saw somebody say he's not even a top 15 player on the Niners roster. You know, the conversation with him is so wild, but it's interesting. It's interesting. And I think it, you know, obviously pisses 49er fans off. And from an outsider's perspective, what's just your general thoughts on him, and what'd you think of his performance in the playoffs, and where do you land on just the Brock Purdy story, I guess you could say?
Yeah. You know, I think Brock Purdy, you know, he gets a lot of hate because I think it's because he's Mr. Relevant. I think we have to start there. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the main hate goes. Cause you know,
don't you think though, that's almost like, we love the underdog story. Like, it should be a fun thing. Like it should. I always like hear that, and I go like, wait, like Tom Brady, you know, like a really late draft pick that was ultra successful, everybody's favorite underdog, and now you're kind of watching this Brock Purdy story in real time, and you, like you said, he gets hate for it, which I don't know. I find that backwards.
Yeah, it's weird, but it starts there. Because, you know, even Amy Trask, when she was talking about their seven quarterbacks, it was more about, there's seven first-round picks and there's Brock Purdy, right? And it really just where it starts. Because let's just say, if Trey Lance was putting up these numbers, man, he'd be MVP. It wouldn't be questioned. It would be unanimous. If Trey Lance came in here and was doing the same exact stuff and adding some rushing yards behind it, he'd be MVP, unanimous. Because I think, you know, when you look at Brock Purdy, one, he's a second-year player. I think we got to start there. He's only been in the NFL 2 years. We don't know where he's going to be in 4 or 5. And to have this fast of a start and, you know, put up the numbers that he's putting up, and you could say that Jimmy Garoppolo put up same numbers. He didn't. I mean, Brock Purdy was putting up some historic numbers at some point. He kind of fell off a little bit at the end of the season, but he was on a pace. And you could even look at his first 2 years. He's up there with all the great quarterbacks. You could say that he has all the talent around him, and that's fair to say. But I think it's a lot of hate comes with the seventh round pick, because even on film, he has pretty good film too, man. It's not like he sucks on film or he makes all these stupid decisions like people try to make it seem like. He executes the hell out of that offense. He knows where to go all the time. You know, so it, so he does the boring stuff, and he does the boring stuff more often. He just doesn't have like those huge highlight throws like he's Justin Herbert or nothing like that. Mm. But he still has a lot of good plays, and he can make plays with his legs. He can scramble a little bit. And we saw that this last game where he was able to rush for 40 yards in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, and honestly, he's clutch too. So he's playing his best when they need him to play the best. And I think to win a Super Bowl, the formula to win a Super Bowl hasn't really changed. I think the media wants it to change, but the formula is a good quarterback that is clutch on a great team. I mean, it's been happening for years, and that's why we see all these big dog quarterbacks lose to teams that maybe are better with a good quarterback who doesn't try to turn the ball over as much, and he's clutch and makes plays when they need him to make plays. So I think it's the same formula it's always been, and I think that people are just hating because he's a seventh round pick. I don't see any other reason, because 100%, if it was Trey Lance, just imagine it was Trey Lance doing the same damn thing, same numbers, unanimous MVP. Lamar Jackson wouldn't even be in the discussion.
I think that's a great point, what you talked about too, about the formula of winning the Super Bowl. I mean, I think, you know, we're in this era where we have a lot of star quarterbacks, like you think of Lamar and Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert, and the list goes on. And you kind of think you need one of those guys to win it. But if you look back, you know, the teams that have done really successful are kind of like what you pitched. But this game specifically, Mark, I haven't dug super deep into it yet. We're going to do some more stuff later in the week here on Believe in 49ers. But what's just your overall thoughts on the Super Bowl? I love talking about specific matchups. That's maybe not, you know, the quarterback and stop Travis Kelce. Is there kind of an underlying matchup that you're going to be paying attention to, a matchup that could potentially define this game? And just what's your overall thoughts on this Super Bowl specifically?
I think the big matchup in this game is the Chiefs defense versus kind of how Brock Purdy handles Steve Spagnuolo and how they handle Chris Jones. I think it's going to be a big thing to this game because the Chiefs on offense are not scary. Okay, they are not scary on offense. I know they got Patrick Mahomes, but they only put up 17 the week before. And the Bills, I don't know what the Bills are doing. They just weren't prepared for them. But you see how the Ravens were able to adjust and just shut them down. Because I mean, I watched the Raiders beat up, man. The Raiders just had a great pass rush, and you know, they were able to get after the quarterback. And the Niners, they can do that because at the end of the day, they want to pass the ball. They're not going to try to do what the Lions did, which is try to beat them up at the beginning of the game. They might start that way a little bit, and they're going to do some more running than they usually do, but they want to pass, right? And I think if the tackles are so weak for the Chiefs, I think the Niners can stop them. But on the other side of it, I think the Chiefs' defense is very, very good. I think they're historically good. People aren't really talking about it. We talk about the Ravens being historically good, but they haven't given up more than 28 points all year. All right. And like the other defenses have done that, like the 2000 Ravens, crazy defenses you could think of. Those are the only defenses that do that type of stuff. So this is going to be not a high scoring game. I'm going to say that first. It's not going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be a 2017 kind of, you know, barn, you know, kind of, you know, and Brock Purdy's going to have to be clutch and maybe outdo Patrick Mahomes late in the game. And that's where it gets, who's going to do that, right? Is he going to be able to, you know, out-duel Patrick Mahomes and make a clutch play? Because if it's 17, let's say it's like 13-10, it's going to go back and forth. You know, Patrick's going to try to answer, right? So you got to try to keep the ball away from Patrick late while also having a clutch drive, because it's going to be a close game. And this Chiefs defense is no joke. I think people don't talk about it enough. You saw what they did to Lamar. They've done that to everybody all year. I mean, like some of the Raiders game, Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass for three quarters.
Yeah, look, I mean, even they shut down, absolutely took away Tyreek. I think Steve Spagnuolo is just, you know, in his bag right now. I think he's like an underrated like MVP to the Chiefs season. I think he's just been pretty amazing. And obviously, like, you know, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. Mm-hmm. They got their lunch money taken by him specifically. You know, like Mike McDaniel got flat out coached. And talk about whatever you want with Tua and stuff. I thought the game was almost lost there. I could tell it was a loss in the first quarter just because of how good the Chiefs defense looked. And I think it's interesting you bring that up. And I got two more questions for you here, Mark, and then I'll make you stop talking about this miserable Super Bowl matchup. Finally, you know, do you have a prediction for the game? Who's winning? Put you on the spot here. Can I get, you know, who's going to win, why, and the score prediction?
Yeah. All right. So I think the Niners are going to win this game. I do. I do think the Niners are going to win this game. And one, because I just think Cam Newton's talking too much. I think he's been talking too much all year, and I think he's just going to feel it. He's going to feel that karma of talking too much. And that's just a different case for me with that. But I think Brock Purdy, I think the Niners are just the better team, right? Mm. And I think that's going to come out. And I think the Chiefs' offense is not what people think it is. And I think if you can stop Kelce, which, I mean, it's hard to do in the playoffs. I mean, that's the hardest thing you got to do. If you could slow him down and you make Patrick Mahomes play through the other guys, you want MVS to beat you, right? Mm. And I think the Niners are going to make enough plays to stop them. You know, even though Mahomes, he's in his game manager mode too, though. So I think that, you know, we talk about game manager, game changer. But he's playing game manager right now. He even talked about that after the game. He's not going to be taking too many chances. So the game's going to be close. I think they just got it to I do think the Niners pull it out at the end. I think their pass rush is going to get to Patrick Mahomes a little bit and maybe force him out of the pocket more than he wants to right now. He's not really – if you notice, he hasn't scrambled as much in the playoffs. If you notice, he has been running around. And I think that's what the Niners want to do. They got to get him running around. That's what the Raiders did. Get him running around in circles like his old self, like he used to, and, you know, he'll make some mistakes. So I think the Niners are going to win this game.
Mm. Okay, so I wanted to ask you this secondly because I felt like it might give away your prediction for the winner. But I think here on Believe in 49ers, we obviously love to talk a little bit about, you know, the gambling side, the betting side of things. And I think one of, you know, that all the prop bets are fun and everything, but they're also not fun at the end of the day. But I think one of the more things that I always love to bet on is Super Bowl MVP. You know, it's just one game and I'll never bet on a quarterback because that's just lame and it's not fun. And I think finding your underrated guy and being lucky enough for, you know, having a Von Miller ticket to win MVP and he has a big performance, you know, type of thing. Is there a guy in this game that you might sprinkle some dollar bills on that's an underrated? Give me an underrated Super Bowl MVP that in, you know, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, or whatever, we're talking like, damn, Mark called that, and I wish I would have put some dollars on that.
I love Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian McCaffrey, Super Bowl MVP. I know that's the other easy one, but I was thinking if it was like a wide receiver, they'd give it to Purdy. Like it was, you had like 13 catches for 200 yards, they'd give it to Purdy, right? Because or something like that. So I think it will be Christian McCaffrey because I think he's going to be the main difference maker in this game. I think he's going to be able to, you know, control the clock. I think they're going to feed him a lot. That's how you beat the Chiefs defense, is running the football. That's their weakness. You know, everybody was yelling at the Ravens. I mean, that's how the Raiders beat them too. You know, Samir White had 145 yards. And I think Christian McCaffrey, he's going to help out risk Chris Jones too, because he's, you know, he's going to be that dump off guy. He's going to make some guys miss, even though the Chiefs tackled really well. But McCaffrey is just a beast, man. And I think, you know, he got kind of left out of the MVP race altogether. And they're kind of just forcing it to a quarterback, in my opinion, by giving it to Lamar. But, I think that dynamic is going to come back and help him, and he's going to win that Super Bowl MVP because I think he's going to make a big difference, especially if he has like two touchdowns, has like a lot of scrimmage yards and makes a lot of plays, right?
And I don't think the 49ers win this game if he doesn't have an MVP-esque performance. I don't think getting into like a quarterback duel will be it's a good decision for the 49ers specifically. I think that's the first thing that I thought when I found out the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl and they're going up against the Chiefs. I'm like, get back to crazy, like McCaffrey needs 20 touches type of thing, a minimum type, if not a lot more than that. And so I completely agree with you. We're on the same page. I'll definitely be interested in that one. But Mark, that's going to do it for us. I appreciate you sticking around for a long time, getting the full podcast in. And if you are obviously loved some of Mark's takes and you want to find out some stuff about the draft and some film reviews, you can follow him on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL. And you can also watch his show, Tape Don't Lie, through SB Nation on YouTube and wherever else you can get your podcasts. Thank you so much, Mark. And I really appreciate it, man. It's been great talking. And I personally love the draft. We both started out doing Scouting Academy, kind of wanting to get into this side of it. But it's also like, now I just talk a lot about the 49ers and basketball and stuff. So it's nice to kind of nerd out about the draft stuff, man. It's fun because I still pay attention to it. I love it. I love college football and seeing these guys where they go from here. And I think even on Believe in 49ers, whenever I'll get going, I'll get to the end of the podcast where I can talk about my draft stuff, my takes, and I'll just be going on Rumble and looking at them like, damn, I'm like 20 minutes in now. I got to move on.
That's funny. Yeah, the draft is great, man. I love the draft. I didn't realize how much I like it until I started getting back into it right now. I really do like breaking down these guys. So
it is. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast today. Like I said, you can follow Mark at the Mark John NFL on Twitter. But that's going to do it for us here on Believe in 49ers. I really appreciate Mark's knowledge, insight, and just kind of putting a Raider fan through predictions and Super Bowl MVP on 49ers versus Chiefs. It's kind of some cruel and unusual punishment. But anyways, we'll be back later this week to dive into more Super Bowl talk. We're going to preview this game in full. I'll give you my prediction. We're also going to talk about some props we like and things like that. So stay tuned for that later here in the week on Believe in 49ers. And you can always hit me on Twitter to talk some ball. You want to talk about the Warriors, or you got to take on a player in the NFL draft, like we always say, or a good prop bet that I need to look at. Always ride with my followers here on Believe, my listeners here on Believe in 49ers. And thank you again to our sponsor, Bet Online. We will be back here again on Believe in 49ers soon. Thank you.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.